Hope Academy is an adult education program. We offer GED, high school diplomas, adult literacy, and English as a second language to local refugees.
There was a small group of women who were not able to go to the local technical college for English as a second language classes because they have small children. They don't have grandmas or aunties to take care of those children. Their husbands are working.
We've found that some of these families, some of these women have been in their homes for years.
Yeah, a few of them have been here as long as 2 years.
And never go out because they have no idea how to navigate what's outside their door.
And so we thought, well, maybe we could help.
So they had the first meeting, and there mm-hmm. were five.
Five women and two children. Now, 7 months later, we're at over 60 women and children who come here every Friday. It feels more like you're in someone's living room. Just like if you invited all of your women friends over with their kids to have a play date, only it also happens to be an English class. We were really trying to find a way to help the women have a second day of English. We found out that sewing would be a fantastic way to use English. They work individually with one American native English speaker, and they work for 2 hours together on a project. We're seeing really exciting things happen through both those programs. And their language is really blossoming.
It's so amazing to watch these headlines that we see in the news just kind of step out of the television and off the newspaper magazine, and suddenly we're like faced with a person.
It's really important not to forget. The reason these women are here is because they had to leave their home. Their lives were at risk. Some of them, their lives were at risk because their families served our military in their home country. They had to flee ISIS. They had to flee the Taliban because they helped us. Whether they were living in a refugee camp, whether they lived in a war zone, they have all experienced traumatic stress.
If you had to go to a foreign country and not have the resources, you wouldn't have family or friends. I mean, imagine going somewhere where you didn't even have language. I can only imagine how frightening that actually is.
Leviticus talks about welcoming the foreigner as a native born because you yourself were once a foreigner. And it actually says to love them as yourself, which reminds us of something that Jesus said. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Compassion to me is Galatians 5:6. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. I love God. God loves people, so I try to love people.
Wow, 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 wow. Friends, welcome. Welcome to Compassion Christian Church. That media piece is just an amazing story of the difference our church is making among refugees here in the city of Savannah. Now, I don't know what your political position is on that, but these folks are living in our city, and they're either going to love us or hate us, depending on the people they meet and whether they perpetuate their fear of what they've always heard about Christians. Or, man, if we stand with the compassion of Christ and lead them to think differently. Now, with all the crazy terrorism that's affecting our world right now, I've heard lots of suggestions about how to deal with that. And almost every suggestion I've heard is just as crazy and unworkable as the terrorists themselves. But now Brian and Heather and dozens of other compassionate Christians are volunteering at Hope Academy, and they have come up with a plan that actually works. Now, it's a slow plan, and it doesn't sizzle very much. But it's a plan that works, and the more people who work that plan, the more that plan will work. And it's very simple. You just find somebody who is far, far, far from God and show them the compassion of Christ without judgment and watch what happens. Now, I've been getting lots of stories and pictures all week of Compassion Christians who've taken our Compassion Challenge last weekend. This is a picture of somebody who's actually tutoring a non-English speaker at the Hope Academy. Many of those refugees are receiving help from our church are Muslim right now. But Carolyn Kixmiller, who works in our Global Outreach Department, told me about a Burmese refugee mother who had to flee from Muslim persecution to America. And she was sharing at Hope Academy how grateful she was that God had provided a way for her to get her family here and keep her family safe, and just broke down weeping out of gratitude to God. And the Muslim women who were sitting there listening to her praise God began to weep with her. Now, friends, there are a number of those women who are now asking us about Jesus and what about the God? What does all this mean? And I'm telling you, it's the beginning of a whole new situation for them. Friends, when the church is working right, it is a compassion generator, and it produces a lot of power. And that's one of the reasons we changed our church name to Compassion Christian, and why we're going to such lengths to get the word out to everybody. And I just want to thank everybody who's been wearing one of these church t-shirts. They're still available for $5 out in the lobby. That's what it cost us. We just want as many people wearing these t-shirts as we can, just to raise the awareness in the community about our church. And you're helping us get the word out, so thanks. I also want to thank everybody who put a Compassion window sticker on your vehicle. This is another great way to get the word out about our church in town. I asked an emergency room doc who's part of the East Campus, who moved here from Pennsylvania, how'd you find our church? He said, window stickers. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. He said, we were visiting all over town at different churches, and then we saw so many stickers, we thought, well, maybe we ought to just check it out. Came one time, never went anywhere else. Same thing with our drummer, who was just playing up here a minute ago. His wife told me between services, she's on the worship team, that the reason they came to our church the first time was because of all of those window stickers. So it's a goofy thing, but I'm telling you, it actually works. Look at this bold soul right here now. This young buck put his on his notebook and took it to school with him, y'all, which I think is really outstanding. And look at this dear elderly lady who stayed at my house last night, and somebody put a sticker on the back of her chair right there. So she's flying to fly. My mom's right over here, y'all. Welcome, Mom. She's with us today. Thanks. Love you, Ma. Don't be leaving your chair in my driveway if you don't want to get a sticker on it. But anyway, here's what I really love about our new name. If we start living up to it, friends, it's not only going to lead a lot of people to Jesus and change our community, it's going to make a difference in our standard of our quality of life as well. Now, listen, knowing Jesus and living a compassionate life just go together. They just go together. Not everything goes together. Not everything goes together, but those two do. I have a friend named Gene Apple, who's a preacher out in California. He's a great preacher. He's preached here before. Gene, when he was in college, he met this girl named Carmel, and they became really good friends. Of course, his name is Gene Apple, and they used to laugh about the fact that if we got married, your name would be Carmel Apple, which is enough reason not to get married right there, I would say, right? But it makes you start thinking, man, what if Yoko Ono married Sonny Bono? She'd be Yoko Ono Bono. Or if Oprah married Deepak Chopra, she'd be Oprah Chopra. Or if Snoop Doggy Dogg married Winnie the Pooh, be Snoop Doggy Dogg Pooh. And I don't think that would work, dude. I can't believe I said that in church, y'all. I know some of y'all are thinking right now, this is just too immature of a church for me. And others of y'all are thinking, these are my people. They're talking, yeah, yeah, that's right. Let me tell you about another match that doesn't make sense. Follower of Jesus who is not compassionate. Doesn't make sense. And friends, doesn't work very well either. I heard a story this week of a pastor who had a conversation with a lady who was pretty dissatisfied with her church. She had started coming to the church about a year earlier. She didn't know the Lord. She didn't have really any church background. But when she started coming to church, she got hit. I mean, the love of Christ surprised her. And the power of the gospel began to convict her. And the sacrifice of Jesus inspired her. And so finally, man, she put her faith in Christ. She was baptized into Christ. Cool. And then about 3 months later, she disappeared. And he didn't see her for about 7 months. And then she showed up back in church, and he asked her, where you been? I mean, what happened to you? And she said, you know, I'm having a little buyer's remorse. He said, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? She said, well, I was invited to your church. I listened to your messages. I believed them. I put my faith in Jesus. I was baptized into Christ. Nothing changed. I mean, I had all these problems before I gave my life to Christ. I still got all these problems. God didn't fix anything. God didn't work for me. So I quit. Now, what would you say to that lady? because somebody needs to say something, right? And what that pastor told her, I hope I will never forget, and I hope you will never forget either. He said, darling, he's obviously from the South. Darling, God has an awesome plan for your life, but you will have to participate. Amen? Say it with me, everybody. God has an awesome plan for your life, but you will have to participate. I think so many people get discouraged with God because they think the Christian life is magic. You know, you just say a phrase or you do some deed and abracadabra, kaboom, sun comes out, stress lifts, peace will come. You live happily ever after. You don't have to do a single thing, man. You just say the magic word and do the magic deed and kaboom. Friends, that is a spiritual fairy tale. That's never been true. It's not true today. The believers who followed Christ back in the day, they never taught that. And if you believe it, you'd be just like that woman I told you about. You'll set yourself up for some inappropriate, crushing disappointment. Because Jesus never promised to let spiritual consumers have it their way. That's Burger King, not the King of Kings. Amen? Burger King thrives when it attracts consumers. The King of Kings is trying to make us like him, a spiritual contributor. Friends, a consumer mentality will net you nothing in your spiritual life. Nothing. It's when you throw your heart in the ring with Jesus. And man, you do what he says and you think the way he thinks and you say what he says, man, that's when peace and joy and fruit and fulfillment come. Listen, there is a peace and joy and fruitfulness and fulfillment that only comes to those who serve the eternal purposes of God. And none of those blessings are promised to consumers. None of them. These go to contributors. Now, let me show you an example of this that comes right out of the life of Jesus. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 4. How many of you got your Bible with you? Let me see it. Hold it up. Let's see who's got it. Good, 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 good. Don't take my word for it. John chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book of the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a blue one under the chair here at Henderson and other places and other campuses. And if you turn to page 889, you'll be right on time. All right, John chapter 4. This is a famous story, really. It's a famous story, the end of which we almost never pay attention to. And I'm guilty of this. And I'm telling you, I learned something today, this week, studying for this message at the end of this story that I'd never seen before. And I think this will change your life. I literally think this has the power to change your life. These verses come at the end of the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Y'all remember that story? I did a whole message on this back in May when we were talking about praying for our one, you know, that one person that God has put in your life so that you can lead them to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. We all hopefully have our one, that one person we're praying for every day. This is an amazing story. And so let me just give you the big talking points. I won't go through the whole story again, and then we'll get to the end. Here's the way this works. The story is about Jesus on a day when he is at the end of a long, hard run of ministry. And so he stops to rest at Jacob's well, which is a really famous place for Jewish people. It's the middle of the day. It's blazing hot. He's tired. His guys go into a Samaritan. Everybody say Samaritan. Samaritan city called Sychar to get some food for lunch and bring it all back to Jesus. Now, when I say Samaritan, if you're a student of the Bible, you should be saying, what? Let's try it. Samaritan. What? Because the Jewish people were so prejudiced towards Samaritans, they would never go into that town. They would never eat in a restaurant in that town. They wouldn't buy any food in that town. And so that's what makes this story so surprising, that Jesus is in Samaria. What? Smart people at church all over here today, looks like. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that kind of racial tension, right? And so let's try it one more time. Y'all get on board with me now. The disciples went into Samaria. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So here you got it now. Jesus is alone in an uncomfortable environment. And then a single woman comes to the well to draw water. And just quickly now, here's the way the conversation goes with this lady. It goes from Jesus saying, can I have a drink of water? To Jesus saying, why don't you let me give you some living water that will save you? And then it goes from Jesus saying, now, why don't we talk about this sexual addiction and codependency that has wrecked your life? All the way to her accepting the gospel and being changed by it. And then the story goes from her running back into town, sharing her testimony as a new believer, telling everybody, hey, you need to come out of the well. The Messiah of God is out there. This guy knew every dirty thing about me and loves me anyway and led me to faith in God. Now, that's the cliff notes on scene one. That's scene one. So follow me here. Scene one is Jesus reaching out in compassion to a woman that everybody else in his little tribe would have been prejudiced against, and then leading her to the Lord. She's far, far, far from God. He's going to try and lead her to the Lord. All right. This woman's reputation is so bad that she will not even come to the well in the morning in the cool of the day when all the other women come, because they talk bad about her because she's been sleeping with their husbands. Right. Which is a good way to get people to talk bad about you. She's one of the bad girls of the Bible. I mean, she's like that evil woman on Housewives of Sychar. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, that's her. All right. And yet this is so cool. Jesus reaches out to the last person anybody would expect with the love of God, shows her unconditional compassion that she cannot understand, tells her life-changing truths that she can understand, helps her find repentance and forgiveness and a new identity and a new way to live that is driven by faith in God. And that's the end of scene one. Scene two starts when his guys arrive and learn that there is a gift that comes only to those who serve. Now, we're going to see that Jesus is experiencing something that his friends don't understand. They don't get it because all they think about is consuming. It's all about me with these guys, right? Look at verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples are urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And Jesus says to them, here it comes now. I have food to eat that you do not know about. Say it with me, everybody. I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, somebody else brought him something to eat? And Jesus said, no. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now look at this passage and you tell me who is the spiritual contributor and who are the spiritual consumers. Because when the disciples arrive, they're ready to consume. And they think that Jesus is just like them, so he got to be ready to consume too. I'm hungry. Let's eat. It's time for lunch. What's that crazy woman doing here? Get her out of here. We didn't bring enough for her. I got some falafel sandwiches, but I only got so many. Let's eat. And Jesus says, guys, I got to tell you, man, I've got food to eat you don't know about. He's saying, guys, I know it's lunchtime, but I'm telling you, I am so filled up right now. I am so satisfied right now. I know you're ready for lunch, and I get that, but I just got to tell you, I am so full of joy over what just happened to me. Man, I had a life-changing conversation with a Samaritan woman. And she came from such a hard background, but her heart is so soft to the truth. And she leaned in toward my Father, and now he's changing her in every way. You know, I had the same conversation with a rich young ruler one time. That joker turned his back on me and walked away. I never seen him again. Broke my heart. But this woman, man, God used me to lead. I'm telling you, when God uses me to lead somebody to him, it just fills me up in a way that food just can't. And it's crazy now, but these guys are still thinking about consuming because that's what consumers do. So the disciples said to one another, has anybody else brought him something to eat? And Jesus is like, bro, no. It's not what I do for me that fills me up. The thing that takes me to another place, is when I do the will of my Father and I do the work of my Father and I see what happens. It's awesome. Look at verse 34. He said, the thing that really gets me going is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Friends, when we do God's will, man, when I show the compassion of Christ, it fills me up like nothing else can. Man, when I accomplish God's work, you know, when I love in his name and I teach in his name and I care in his name, I'm telling you, it does something for me that nothing else can touch. There's something about showing compassion to a Samaritan woman that blessed Jesus in a way that the disciples missed, probably because she's the last person in the world they would have shown compassion to. Why? Because they think about consuming. And he's thinking about making a contribution. Friends, people who love like Jesus are spiritual contributors. People who think about themselves all the time are spiritual consumers. Now, let's just hit the pause button here for a moment. And let's do a little spiritual assessment. Because many of you are just like this woman I told you about earlier. You're a little disappointed in church. I mean, you come here for 8 whole weeks in a row and it just ain't working for you. I mean, you tried it for a little while and man, your world hadn't flipped upside down yet. You don't feel totally different already. So it must not be real, right? When the actual problem is you are a spiritual consumer who wants to feel like a spiritual contributor. You want all the payoff. You just don't want to have to, you just don't want to have to participate. And can I tell you, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Now, open your note sheet. Everybody's got a note sheet. Pull yours out. Come on. You've got one. Wonderful, skilled CIA agents gave you one of these on the way in today. Everybody's got one. You need to see this right here. This scale right here. 1 to 10. Pull this 1 to 10 scale out. We're going to do a little, assessment here, which I think will be very, very, very helpful for you and for me and for everybody else. Now, number one, all the way over here is a spiritual consumer. This is somebody who's only thinking about themselves. It's all about me. All right. On the other end of the scale over here are the spiritual contributors. Now, these are the people who are literally living for the purposes of God, and they're feeling an enormous sense, a rush of joy because of that. Now, I'm going to ask you to circle where you are on this scale. Now, number one, do not circle number 10 unless you have died on a blood-soaked cross for the sins of the world and risen from the dead to make grace available for the entire world. If you haven't done that, you're not a 10, okay? Now, if you're confused about that, just tap the person next to you and say, "Am I Jesus?" And they will sort you out, all right? You're not a 10, all right? Do not mark 10, all right? In fact, don't put anything on there yet because I think this will be really helpful as a self-assessment, but I want to help you figure out where you belong on this scale. Now, here's the great thing about an assessment like this. This tells you where you are today. It's where you are right now. Not necessarily where you'll be for the rest of your life. If the disciples had taken this assessment at the well, they'd have been over here like a 2. Because all that thing about lunch. But listen, 120 days later, these guys are dying for Christ. They are totally committed to Jesus. And so this is where they were on this day. But for the rest of the New Testament, they are growing, 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 becoming more and more like Christ every day, which is awesome, right? So let us begin. Now, if you're brand new to our church, not a Christian, you're just visiting, you're not on this scale yet. You are an explorer. You are checking it all out, and that's good. You just keep on checking it out. But if you've been in our church for a year, and you walked physically into one of our campuses today, any of our campuses, and you dropped your kids off of somebody else who is serving you today and your family today, but you're not serving anybody anywhere at this church. If you come here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and you sit down in a seat that you did not help pay for because somebody else financially sacrificed to provide it for you, if you're worshiping with us today in a building that you did not help pay for, if you don't give any kind of offering whatsoever, you just come in here and enjoy the show, but you've never done anything to give back, give yourself a 2. I would say 1, but that's the devil. And I'm trying to show a little bit of grace here, all right? Give yourself a 2, all right? You with me on this? Give yourself a 2. Let's just call it what it is. You only benefit here. You don't give anything back. That makes you a consumer. That's a 2. Now, let me just say this. Say you've gone to Connecting Point. You've been through the Next Step classes. You signed up for our Big Idea small group. Maybe you participate in the Compassion Project. You helped us with the One campaign. You give to the offering whenever the Spirit moves you. Man, give yourself a 4 or 5. I mean, you tell me where you need to be. You make that assessment yourself. Now, some of you honestly need to be marking 8 or 9. I mean, you need to be marking 8 or 9 because you worship is a priority for you. Man, you hear every time the doors open. And you're serving. You serve the church. You serve out in the community in 2 or 3 different places. You pray every day for the leaders of this church and for God's work in his church. You bring people to church here all the time. You're involved in local missions. Man, you got a window sticker on your car. That's how all in you are, right? You totally believe that Compassion Christian is not a building. That it is a group of people. And when you say this is compassion, you talk about me. You know you're talking about you are Compassion Christian Church. And man, you live your life to serve your Lord. If that's you, just go ahead and throw an 8 or 9 up here because that's where you are and you ought to thank God for that. You're not a 10, but you maybe are an 8 or 9. Now, I want to ask you right now to summon your courage and mark on this note sheet where you are today. Where you are today. This is not your destiny. You're not going to be here for the rest of your life. But I want to encourage you to mark where you are today so you'll know what kind of progress needs to take place. Don't be looking at me. Don't look at the screen. I don't want to feel anybody looking up. I want you looking down. I want you to summon your courage like a man or a woman of God and mark where you are today. And then I'm going to give you 2 easy to remember steps that will get you moving to the same place where Jesus said Man, I have something that fulfills my life and fills my life like nothing else can. And that is when we serve the Lord by identifying our gifts. Serve the Lord by identifying your gifts. Now, I love the story Dr. Ben Carson told when he spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast a couple years ago. He told a story of a guy who was trying to buy a birthday gift for his mother's 90th birthday, right? And so it's a big day. Mama's turning 90. He wanted to do something really special. He wanted to get a gift that fit her and honored the situation in her life. And so, you know, he's really struggling to find just the right gift. And he was walking through the mall one day and saw a pet shop that sold these amazingly talented birds. And I mean, these birds could talk, they could sing, they could dance. It was amazing, but they were very expensive, cost $5,000 a piece. And he thought, wow, this is perfect. They'll entertain mom. They'll talk to her. They'll keep her company. Perfect. So he bought two of them and had them shipped to his mother for her birthday. Then on the birthday, he called his mama to wish her happy birthday and said, how do you like those birds? She said, they was good. He's like, Mom, you didn't eat those birds. She said, I sure did, and I really enjoyed them. He said, Mama, those birds cost $5,000 a piece. They've been trained to dance and sing and talk. She said, well, they should have said something. I mean, man, if you got a gift, you ought to use it, right? I mean, come on. Hey, that's what the Bible says. If you got a gift, brother, you ought to use it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, we're going to say this all together. And when we say good stewards, I want you to just bump it a little bit. Y'all ready? Here we go. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, look at that verse. It does not say that you might have a spiritual gift or could have a spiritual gift or ought to have a spiritual gift. It says, as each has a spiritual gift. You have a spiritual gift if you're a follower of Jesus. If you don't know what it is, you will in 5 minutes. You'll know in 5 minutes. The screen, it also says that God gave you spiritual gifts so that you would serve. So that you would serve. Listen, God says serving is normal for a gifted person. Say it with me, everybody. God says serving is normal for a gifted person. It also says that when you use your gift to serve, you are a good steward of God's grace. Anybody know what the opposite of a good steward is? What's the opposite of a good steward? A Christian who is not serving. A Christian who is not serving. That's the opposite of a good steward. So really, the only people who God expects to sign up today and serve in our church are people who love God, respect God, and appreciate God because they're part of his family. All the rest of y'all can serve just because it's fun. Welcome aboard. So let's take a minute here. I want to show you one of the lists of gifts. There are three lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. I want to show you the one that applies to Compassion Christian Church. This is found in Romans chapter 12. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 12 or get on your phone and tap, tap, tap over to Romans chapter 12. This is very important. Romans 12, verse 6. Now, the church in Rome was exactly like Compassion Christian Church. And so every gift that we're going to read about in Romans chapter 12 is right here in Compassion Christian. Paul says in Romans 12, 6, we have different gifts. Notice it does not say we might have, could have, ought to have one day. We have. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then you should prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then you should serve. If it is teaching, then you should teach. If it is encouraging, then you should give encouragement. If it is giving, then you should give generously. If your gift is leading, you should do it diligently. And if your gift is to show mercy, then you should do it cheerfully. Now, there are seven gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and mercy. Seven spiritual gifts. And if you're a follower of Jesus in this room right now, you definitely have one and maybe more. Now, this line right here is on your note sheet. I want you to look at that. And when I teach you about spiritual gifts, I want you to circle your gift. And you're going to know in just about 5 minutes which one of these gifts you have, one or more. But I want you to circle them on your note sheet so you know what to pray about this week. Now, Jesus is the only person who had all the gifts. But every follower of Christ in this room has at least one. So how do you tell which one's your gift? Well, the easiest way to determine what your spiritual gift is not with a test, but with a test drive, right? You just try all seven of them, and the one that clicks for you, that's probably where your spiritual gift is. But just to get you moving in the right direction today, I want to put you in the simulator. I'm going to put you in a simulator this morning as your first test drive. This is what we call the apple pie paradigm. Y'all ready for this? Let me call out my lovely assistant, Marguerite. Where you at? Come on out here. Let's welcome Marguerite as she comes to help me with the sermon today. Come have a seat right here, young woman. Fantastic. Marguerite is a competitive swimmer. You'll see her on the Olympics one day. Fantastic. All right. Now, Marguerite, you go ahead and get started there. Marguerite is going to enjoy some wonderful dessert, isn't she? Yeah. Now, imagine you're sitting in a restaurant and you can see this. You can see Marguerite's got this too close to the edge of the plate and something bad is getting ready to happen, but you can't get there in time to react, right? And then it kind of spills on her, right? Oh, girl, I mean, you're supposed to catch that. Come on. All right, man. Okay. Now, I'm going to be buying you a lot of clothes, I can tell right now. Now, what would you do in this situation? Because this is how you know what your spiritual gift is. If your first thought is, oh, my goodness, here's my handkerchief. Girl, come here. Let me help you clean that stuff up. Let's get your hands all cleaned up. There we go. Now, if that's what you would do, you have the gift of serving. If intuitively you would just move to help, you have the gift of serving. How many of y'all have the gift of serving? Let me see your hands. You would just intuitively try to help her out. All right. All right. Here's the second gift. If you saw that one, oh, my goodness. That, girlfriend, don't try to eat that. Let's get it. Waiter, can we get another pie over here? Another pie. Matter of fact, let's have a pie for everybody at the table. Come on. Now, if you would do that, you have the gift of giving. How many of you have the gift of giving? Oh, you chicken dogs not raising your hand. I know how it is, man. Listen, man, there's a lot more of us have the gift of giving than raise their hand. I can tell you that. Now, listen, if you have the gift of giving, you don't want anybody to know because you want to be able to give quietly, but you love to give. And let me tell you, that humility is actually one of the qualities of a great giver. Now, what if you were to say, oh, baby, I'm sorry about that. Here, look, we'll get you another piece of pie. Don't worry about that. Waiter, another piece of pie over here. Bam, can you come clean this thing up? You, bring another glass of water over here. Say, we need to make. Now, if you're one of these bossy people that's always telling everybody what to do, you have the gift of leadership. How many of you got the gift of leadership? Raise your hand. You're bossy. Everybody already knows it. Don't try to hide it. You know, we all know who you are. All right? Man, they just see stuff like that and bam, 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 bam. Now, if you would see Marguerite and go, oh, baby, I'm sorry about your jeans and your brand new Compassion t-shirt. This kind of stuff happens to me all the time. I don't want you to feel embarrassed about that. I've got a tie. I'm telling you, my tie's got so much food on it, my wife can make stew out of it. You know what I'm saying? This happens all the time. Don't worry about it, Marguerite. Now, if you're the kind of person who goes to somebody in this situation and just tries to make them feel better and build them up and keep them from being embarrassed, you have the gift of encouragement. How many of you would intuitively do that? You have the gift of encouragement. All right, raise your hands. That's good. All right, now, if you would go, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. I know you might be embarrassed, but you don't be embarrassed about this. We love you. We're just so glad you're here. Thanks for coming. What can we do to help? Now, if you would just intuitively be moved by kindness and empathy, you have the gift of mercy. You're just an extraordinarily kind person. How many of you have the gift of mercy? Let me see the hands. You're the people that when somebody dies, you're taking food over, you're helping, you're loving, you're encouraging, that kind of thing. All right. Now, if you have the gift of teaching, here's how it'll go. Marguerite, have you ever heard that you should keep the plate 3 inches from the edge of the table? Now, here's the way it is. Think of these fingers right here. If you just keep it this far away, this kind of thing won't happen. And I mean, you'll be able to eat without this ever happening again. The Hebrew word for don't spill your apple pie is trifingeraka. And so if you just keep that in mind, girlfriend. This will keep you out of trouble. Matter of fact, I'm doing a Bible study later on this week in my life group. We're going to go through every time Jesus ate in the New Testament, and he never spilled one time. All right? Now, if you would take that approach, you have the gift of teaching. How many of you have the gift of teaching? All right, raise your hand. All right, that's a good thing. Now, if you have the gift of prophecy, Marguerite, did your mother never teach you not to let the plate get too close to the edge there? Has this ever happened to you before? You know what has. You know what has.
I guess
you know
I just don't listen.
Because you didn't do what your mama said, right? Now, what do you need to do?
Repent?
Yes. Yes. And if you repent, what will happen?
Times of refreshing will come.
That's what the Bible says. And that's exactly right. All right, y'all, let's give it up for Marguerite. Thanks for the help here. Now, I don't have the gift of giving, but I am going to be taking an offering to get her some more jeans after the service is over, all right? But now, listen, if you have any one of these gifts, you know, the person with the gift of prophecy, they're just black and white, man. They don't see near as much gray as everybody else. They just call it like they see it, right? Now, here's the thing. The day you acknowledge that you are a gifted person who has been gifted by God on purpose, for a purpose, and you determine to put your gift into play, your spiritual life is going to skyrocket, and you are going to begin to experience joy and a sense of fulfillment that you will never experience sitting on your blessed assurance watching other people serve. Listen, one of the reasons there's so much joy around Compassion Christian is that so many Compassion Christians are in play. Listen, most churches in America are like a professional football game. You got 22 people on the field running like crazy who are desperately in need of rest, and 70,000 people sitting in the bleachers watching them who are desperately in need of exercise. And I'm just praying that today on every campus at our church, you will sign up to take that next step. This sign-up sheet is in your program. Man, I hope everybody in the sound of my voice will sign up and take a next step. Friends, God made you for this. He made you for this. And you are never going to have the kind of nourishing, fulfilling inner satisfaction that Jesus had until you do what Jesus did. Now, think back about that woman at the well story, because the reason Jesus was so filled with satisfaction is because he used his spiritual gifts to show compassion. Listen, he knew all about her and felt mercy toward her. He served her by starting a conversation that would lead her to a good place. He taught her about the Messiah, and she got it. When she tried to be evasive, he called her out, which is the gift of prophecy. He led her, the gift of leadership, to deal with her life in a realistic way. He gave her the gift of giving, the gift of eternal life. He encouraged her to go home and tell all of her friends and take some steps. Now, again, Jesus is the only person in the world who had all of the gifts. But man, when he used them to show compassion, it gave him a sense of soul satisfaction. Wouldn't you like some of that? I mean, don't you want that deep sense of soul satisfaction? Let me tell you how to get it. Change the world by deploying your gift. You know, last week, I threw out this compassion challenge. I challenged all of you to pull out your phone. And some of y'all need to pull it out right now. Get ready to text this number, 31313. Just text to this number right here. Then put in the body of the message, Compassion Henderson, East, Effingham, wherever you may be, you know where you are. And then you hit send, and it'll take you to a website that will just show you hundreds of opportunities to get involved in showing compassion in our community. Man, listen, you can go stealth, you know, trying to do something without getting caught. You can go inspire other people. You can go invest in other people. There are opportunities to go sweat, you know, to work with your hands and get your hands dirty. There are opportunities to go together with your family or your small group or whatever it is. And man, just get in the game. We had over 3,000 people text that site last Sunday during our services and hundreds more since then. And let me tell you, Sunday afternoon, I got a text from a friend of mine who sent me a picture of his 7-year-old son, Gabe. Is that you, Bo? There he is. Gabe, on Sunday afternoon, grabs his dad's tractor. I think it was a stolen tractor kind of thing. But anyway, he grabs his dad's tractor, goes over to Mr. James' house because Mr. James' tractor is broken. And Gabe's just thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut that man's yard and see if I can get away without him catching me. 7 years old. 7 years old. Let's thank God for that young man. Now stop. Imagine the kind of man he will grow up to become with parents discipling him like this and challenging him to be compassionate at 7. Imagine the man he will become. Awesome. Now listen, you don't even have to wait till you get home. You just pull this sheet out on all of our campuses and fill out your name. Put your contact information here. Drop it in the offering basket when it goes by. Pick 2 areas where that lines up with your passion and your desire to. Don't pick all 10 because you'll just punk out and it'll make you feel bad and the devil will use that to discourage you. Don't do that. Just pick 2, all right? You just pick 2, put this in the offering basket. We'll call you this week. Now listen, if you don't hear from our church in 3 days, it's because your phone is broken or you don't know how to use voicemail or we don't. So if you haven't heard from us in 3 days, you call the church and say, look, man, I said I wanted to serve the Lord. And I hadn't heard from anybody yet. Hook me up. That's all it takes. Because listen, as each has received the gift, our call is to use it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to be a good steward. Put me in the ball game. Now listen, Peter did not say, if the church doesn't call you, the church is a bad steward. Peter said, if you don't serve, you're a bad steward. And that will be bad. So take initiative on this. And if the church doesn't call you, you call a church. I talked to a lady after church right here. She told me this this epic story of signing up over and over, and nobody ever called her, and she got so discouraged and so heartbroken, and she just thought the church didn't love her, and blah, 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 blah. Listen, when you sign up to serve and you don't hear from the church, do you think the church is just incompetent? Do you think we hate you? I mean, we go through the list and we just pick out the people we don't want to talk to? No. It's because something has broken. I mean, something has fallen through the cracks. I'll tell you what I really think it is. I think the reason the church didn't call you is because the devil hates you. And he's scared to death of you. And the devil realizes if you ever get off of the bleachers and in the ball game, it's going to be fire and light. And he will do anything to discourage you. And if all it takes is, you know, dropping your name out of a computer program or dropping your sheet, you know, out on the sidewalk or, you know, somehow not calling you the first time you ask for help. If that's all it takes to discourage you and Satan can see in the future the difference you will make, he'll do anything to shut you down. And I just want to say, don't let him do it. Don't let him rob you. I've watched the devil rob people in this church till I'm sick of it. Don't let him rob you, man. God created you for greatness. He created you to do something in this world that will be remembered for generations to come. Take initiative on this. Don't stop until your gifts are in play. And you will have the kind of deep soul satisfaction that Jesus lived with every day. Every day. So sign up. Show up. Power up your gifts. And you will fill up with a joy and peace and fruitfulness and faith and fulfillment that your friends will not understand until they join you. And then they will. Friends, Jesus lived every day with a deep soul satisfaction. And he showed us how to do the same. Follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us today to open your word. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the word, for the way your word just comes at us, Lord. I mean, it just pushes on us. It refuses to let us remain complacent. It's in our face all the time, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you love us that much. We're thankful for the confidence you have in us. But Lord, we could literally throw our lives away on secondary things, never really getting into the things that bring soul satisfaction and make an eternal difference. And I pray that this service today will be a call to many of us, Lord, to make eternal things a priority. And to show compassion every day. And I know our world will change if we do. And I pray, God, that this will be the day that many of us get started. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Okay. The first act of service that many of you will perform in the name of Jesus is to walk down this aisle today and hug my neck and say, Cam, I need to give my life to Christ. I am a sinner. I've got a sin problem I've never been able to solve. And let me tell you, you never will. You never will. Many of us have tried it. Don't work. Only Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus can wash you as white as snow. Only Jesus can leave you with no sense of shame about the past. Only Jesus can leave you with hope about the future. Only Jesus can fill you with the Holy Spirit so that your hard heart will become a soft, loving heart. Only Jesus can give you the spiritual gift that will make you supernaturally capable in certain areas. Only Jesus can give you that deep soul satisfaction that we all want. And if you don't have it today, maybe it's because you're not on Team Jesus yet. You've been going to church, but that didn't make you a Christian. Your mama had some ritual done to you when you were a little baby. That certainly does not make you a Christian. This is a decision you have to make for yourself, and you haven't made it. And so in the name of Jesus, I just want to say, do this first work of service. Humble yourself. Come to Christ. Ask him to be the leader and forgiver of your life. Do it today. Do it today, and times of refreshing will come. If you've already given your life to Christ, come join our church, man. Come be a part of what God is doing. Listen, there's going to be a shockwave of compassion that is going to emanate from these campuses that is going to change our region and change our world. And we're going to be talking about this in heaven 10,000 years from now. And you're going to be wanting to talk about the part you played in this great work of God. And that ain't going to happen in the bleachers, friends. So come join our church. Come be a part of our family. Come join this team. See what happens. If you're here today and I'm telling you your heart is broken and you know what you need more than anything else is to feel the compassion of Christ in your life, why don't you come and let us pray for you? We've got folks lined up over here right now that would love to pray for a wave of compassion to break over your life. And when we start to pray, you watch what happens next. It's kind of awesome. So let's stand and let's sing this commitment song. And if you have a decision to make for Christ, I'll meet you right down front here. Listen, if you're on the back row, you are not too far away. We're going to sing and give you plenty of time to get here. Man, you come. If you have a decision to make for Christ, summon your courage. Come make it today. I'll be right down here to help.